The world we know is changing. I'm Moira Gunn, and welcome to Biotech Nation. Getting a grasp on a new technology, which is already available, but is being studied in clinical trials around the world for numerous different medical conditions. Dr. Neil Cassell, the founder and chair of the Focus Ultrasound Foundation, joins me to talk about what focused ultrasound is and the different ways in which it is being used. Dr. Cassell, welcome back to the program.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Moira.
Now, the first thing I want to say to listeners is that you may never have heard of focused ultrasound before, but it is being researched all over the world. There are nearly 1,000 commercial treatment sites where you can get treatment all over the world. Hundreds of scientific papers are being produced, and it's in use at major university research hospitals that you know of, and many companies in this space, numerous regulatory approvals, numerous clinical trials underway for a variety of potential applications. It may be new to you, if it is new, but this is by no means new. Still, I was hoping, Dr. Cassell, since there are those who have not heard of it, what is focused ultrasound, and what does it do when it comes into contact with the human body?
Sure. So focused ultrasound is an early stage, highly disruptive, revolutionary, totally non-invasive therapeutic technology that holds the promise to transform a whole variety of serious medical disorders. And it's rapidly growing. 10 years ago, there were only 3 medical disorders in various stages of research and development and commercialization. Today, there are more than 180. So the way focused ultrasound works is analogous to using a magnifying glass to focus beams of light on a point and burn a hole in a leaf. But with focused ultrasound, instead of an optical lens focusing beams of light on a point to burn a hole in a leaf, we use an acoustic lens to focus multiple beams of ultrasound energy on targets deep in the body with a high degree of precision and accuracy, sparing the adjacent normal tissue. So where each of these individual beams goes through the tissue, it has absolutely no effect because it only has the power of diagnostic ultrasound. But at that focal point where the beams converge, we now understand more than 30 ways in which ultrasound can affect tissue. 10 years ago, we only understood 5. And this includes destroying tissue by a variety of mechanisms, delivering drugs and other therapeutic agents in extremely high concentrations, higher concentrations that can be achieved by the normal routes of administration, which improves the efficacy and decreases the systemic toxicity. It could be used to enhance cancer immunotherapy drugs, and so on. The fact that there are so many different mechanisms of action is what creates the opportunity to treat this large number of serious medical disorders. In contrast to, for instance, radiation therapy, which only has one mechanism of action, or a surgical robot, which only has one mechanism of action. And the point in the body where the ultrasound is focused is guided and controlled by medical imaging, either MR imaging or ultrasound imaging.
So if I understand this correctly, if there was just a single beam, not multiple beams, but a single beam, it would go through me. Nothing really would happen. But if you put them all together, focused at a very tiny point, then we see activity.
We see many ways in which it can affect tissue. It's a whole new way of delivering drugs and other therapeutic agents more safely and effectively. It's an amazing, amazing new technology.
Now, I think everybody can understand how it could go down to the cellular level and destroy cells we don't want. But it's a little more difficult to understand how it could deliver drugs. How would that work?
Well, there's a large number of ways in which focused ultrasound can be used to deliver drugs and other therapeutic agents. I'll give you an example. In the most simple sense, you can use microbubbles, which are hollow lipid spheres, approximately a tenth of a diameter of a red blood cell. And these microbubbles can be loaded up with drugs, chemotherapy agents for cancer, genes or growth factors for Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease, or ALS or Huntington's disease. And millions of these microbubbles with the drug inside are injected intravenously, and they circulate throughout the body. Wherever the blood goes, the microbubbles go to every tissue and every organ. But the drug is totally inactive because it's trapped in the microbubble, except at the point where the ultrasound is focused. And at that point, and that point only, the microbubbles burst and release their pharmacological payload.
Well, when we think about taking, whether it's pills, IV drugs, any of this, we know they go all over our system. And in fact, that's where many of the side effects come, because we have this drug in the entire system. But you're saying, well, we could send it to you, it'll go all over the system, but it's only going to burst, it only gets delivered where we direct the focused ultrasound.
Exactly.
Now, while this is worldwide, and there are many clinical trials that have happened successfully, many underway now, what conditions today have been approved in the United States for the focused ultrasound?
In the United States, there are 9 clinical indications that have been approved. Around the world, it's 31. And this includes prostate cancer, benign prostatic hypertrophy, essential tremor, Parkinson's disease, bone pain from bone metastasis, uterine fibroids, and so on.
I want to give people a perspective in the sense that anyone who is listening grew up with X-ray machines. They were everywhere. In doctor's offices, you knew who would use them for what in hospitals. What we didn't know, we hadn't thought of, is they weren't always there. You know, in the 1900s is when they first came into use, and it took a while for them to spread around and have adoption. And this is what we're looking at today, in a sense, in that focused ultrasound machines were coming out new, but we're in a different time. We don't just put them in someplace and say, well, let's see how this works. There are steps that have to be taken, regulatory steps. We have to make sure they work and that they're safe. It takes more time today for a technology like this to be moved forward.
It does. It takes a long time. And today, around the world, there are about 1,000 commercial treatment sites. In 2022, about 100,000 patients were treated around the world for a variety of medical disorders using focused ultrasound in these 1,000 commercial treatment sites. It is our belief that in the next 5 to 10 years, more than 1 million patients, well over 1 million patients, will be treated every year in about 10,000 commercial treatment sites. So these technologies evolve from an idea or a concept to a global standard of care, widespread utilization as a global standard of care. They evolve exponentially. And in the last couple of years, we finally passed the inflection point of this curve, where the dialogue has clearly shifted from if focused ultrasound is going to have a major role in the therapeutic armamentarium to when, from if to when. But more importantly, in the last 12 to 18 months, the field is transitioning from what's been historically a research and development environment to a commercial patient treatment environment. And we're going to see, as I said, in 5 to 10 years, more than 1 million patients treated each year. There's now 71 manufacturers of these focused ultrasound devices. 10 years ago, there were only 5. So the field is rapidly evolving, not rapidly enough to satisfy our needs, but rapidly evolving.
Now, you're a long-term professor of neurosurgery at the University of Virginia, and overlapping with that, you founded and chaired the Focus Ultrasound Foundation almost 20 years ago now. When did this technology come to your attention? Tell us about that.
It's a little bit of a long and complicated story. So about 20 years ago, I was casting about for a solution to a relatively large number of patients I had with brain tumors in surgically inaccessible locations, or patients whose brain tumors had maxed out on surgery and radiation and chemotherapy, and there was no alternative. So I was looking for a non-invasive or minimally invasive approach for this large number of patients. And serendipitously, I was operating on a patient with an aneurysm in August, about 19 years ago, and the anesthesiologist, it was a cardiac anesthesiologist, said, I've been doing studies measuring the blood flow in the heart muscle with microbubbles and ultrasound and watching the microbubbles wash out of the heart muscle. Why don't you try the same thing on the brain? And we did. It was a good way of measuring blood flow in the brain experimentally. And then one Friday afternoon at 4:30, I can remember exactly the location and the time, I was driving home and the light bulb went off in my head. And I said, I bet that we could use ultrasound plus or minus microbubbles to treat these otherwise untreatable brain tumors. And I got really excited because I'd been doing research since 1962. And I thought, now, finally, I have a Nobel Prize-winning idea. I raced home, I went to the internet, and discovered it was a Nobel Prize-winning idea, potentially. It just wasn't mine, but that was okay.
Tough luck.
So that was my introduction, yeah.
Well, it is amazing, though. It's like those breakthroughs do lead your mind to think of this one, and then the one after, and then the one after. And you never know when they're going to hit you. Today, there are sister foundations around the world, in Hong Kong, the UK, most recently in the EU. And where there are humans, you know, everywhere on the planet, there are the afflictions of life. I know there are many clinical trials going on today. Can you just describe one or two that really pique your interest, that really push the envelope here?
Well, the two areas that we're most excited about are the brain indications, which include Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and ALS and Huntington's disease, OCD, depression, addiction, epilepsy, and so on, and cancer immunotherapy. So we're really excited, particularly about Alzheimer's, the neurodegenerative diseases in particular, and enhancing or augmenting the effectiveness of cancer immunotherapy drugs, because as we all know, these miraculous drugs are only effective in 20 to 40% of patients, depending on the type of cancer. Focused ultrasound has the potential to increase that response rate to 60, 80, maybe even 90%. But there's early stage studies. They're clinical trials, and all the indications are positive. The vectors are headed in the right direction.
Now, in the case of addiction, say, how might it be used to ameliorate addiction in some way?
Well, there's two ways. Number one is you can make small lesions in the brain, which will interrupt certain neural circuits. But more importantly, people are using focused ultrasound to modulate neural activity, stimulate or block neural activity in certain regions of the brain, which is a way of controlling addiction for opioids, for food, and so on, and tobacco, alcohol, and so on. Again, these are early stage studies, but they're all very encouraging.
And now we turn to depression. I would assume that would be different.
So there are good clinical trials for OCD and depression. We're making very small lesions, destroying very small areas of the brain, will improve the lot of patients who are suffering with OCD or depression that have failed multiple drug therapies. In addition, there are other studies that are showing that you can treat OCD, depression, and so on, and anxiety by neuromodulation without destroying any nerve tissue.
But what are you doing that's different from the way these people were before they... What are you doing with the focused ultrasound?
Nobody knows 100% for sure, but when you think about it, one of the traditional treatments for these psychiatric disorders is electric shock therapy, which sort of resets the whole brain, okay? With focused ultrasound, instead of resetting the neural circuits for the entire brain, you're just resetting the circuits in specific areas of the brain that control craving for different substances.
So this is why it's called research. If we knew the answer, we wouldn't be doing research. And some of this is, you know, we really are out there at the edge of seeing what can be done with this technology.
Right. The purpose of research is to learn, and that's what we're doing.
Well, Dr. Cassell, this has been terrific. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you'll come back and see us again.
Look forward to it, and thank you for the opportunity to share the story with so many of your listeners.
Dr. Neil Cassell is the founder and chair of the Focused Ultrasound Foundation. More information is available at fusfoundation.org. Listen to more biotech podcasts at biotechnation.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. Biotech Nation is a regular feature of the weekly public radio program Tech Nation. Listen to the full show via podcast or on your local public radio station. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.